This is the Affirm America podcast, where we stand up and speak out, affirming American excellence. Coming to you deep in the heart of the Midwest, located in an undisclosed log cabin on the outskirts of town, your host, Marquis Vandermark.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Affirm America podcast. On this beautiful, sunny, warm day here in the Midwest, on this 25th day of March, 2024, it's good to be back in the saddle here with the Affirm America podcast. I've got a good one for you today. Spring has sprung. The flowers are out. It's a beautiful time of the year. Got some good friends with me today. We're going to talk about something I think you're going to find to be very interesting. Hope everybody's doing well. Donald Trump is now the Republican nominee for president in 2024. We got lots of work to do to make sure we settle the American dream. Thanks for joining us. I'm Marcus Vandermark. Boy, what a ride it's been through the primary season. We've had quite an experience. Donald Trump's under all kinds of attacks with the lawfare, the persecution, but he's the man for the hour. I want to introduce you to a couple of my friends. We have a couple guests here today that I think you'll find to be very interesting. I have two friends. One is Dr. Frank Kaufman. He's the founder and president of the Settlement Project. And another friend of mine, Dr. David Burgess, who is a PhD. And we're going to talk to you about a little project that they've been working on for the past 4 years. And to get into the discussion about what we want to talk about today, I want to introduce Dr. Kaufman first. Dr. Kaufman is the founder of the Settlement Project. And I want to give you a little background on his bio here, let you know a little bit about him. Dr. Kaufman is the founder and president of the Settlement Project, a movement to renew and rebuild a wholesome America based on the country's founding principles. Founder and president of the 12 Gates Foundation, based on 40 years in the international arena of religion and peace, negotiating the governments on religious elements of conflict, the Gulf War, Israel and Palestine, India and Pakistan, African and South Asian conflicts, and elsewhere. He's also the editor-in-chief of the New World Encyclopedia, a Wikipedia alternative dedicated to truth, sound research, and the absence of bias. He's got a doctorate from Vanderbilt University in the history of Christian thought. He's an educator in youth development and spiritual formation, and he's also a family man, lives in New York City with his wife, Hiroko, and he's a parent of three grown children. Welcome, Dr. Kaufman, to the Affirm America podcast.
Thank you, Marquis. Great to be here. Congratulations on the success of this podcast. It's a great listen.
Well, listen, thanks for joining us today, and I want to talk a little bit about the Settlement Project. Can you share with my audience a little bit about what the Settlement Project is and why you started it, and just give a little background about the Settlement Project?
America's typically divided between left and right, liberal and conservative, various titles. None of them exactly match anybody, really. But it's been the way we've traveled in our country. Our country's been conversational most of our history. That began to break down very badly in recent times, 90s or 2000 or so, in which the left and right became non-conversational, became radically split, full of hostility, no capacity to work together, and it just increases and intensifies. As you said in your promo, the way this election, I mean, we've never heard of former presidents being, you know, indicted for kind of stealing a piece of bubble gum or something like that. It's just driving the country down. So the conversation is good. We have our preferences. Everybody sits somewhere on the political spectrum. But if we cannot recover some basis to express ourselves, our strong convictions, I happen to be on the what would be called classical, traditional, or patriotic side. That's where I stand. But if we cannot collaborate to start to build a country together, we're in serious trouble. And 20 with the COVID, depending on what you think about it, either pandemic or it's called scamdemic, what during that period of time, there was a flood of mail-in ballots and a rash of legislation, like changes in state legislation for voting. This struck me as a great danger for the country, kind of a last straw in a way. And it was during that time when I saw the election teetering on, like if we can't have an election, we don't have a country. Really, we don't. There's nothing unique or aspirational about America if we can't have fair elections. So I founded the Settlement Project to try to create a vision of not vanquishing the left or right, but establishing a point of view where there's pride in the country, there's pride in the family, there's hope and aspiration for your sons and daughters, and for those with different views or shades to discuss at least. So the idea of settlement is, I wrote it in one of my brochures, things are settled when strife is past and people work together to build something good. That's the idea of settlement. So that's it. It's since 20, and it's for fear that too much of what a country needs was being eroded.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, we've seen things change quite a bit since 2020, just in our culture and how we relate with each other. It seems like our nation is more divided than it's ever been, as long as I can remember. And I think the idea of settlement, or, calming the divisions and bringing people together, around a common value, I think that sums it up with what I think a lot of us feel right now, is that America is being torn apart in division, and we need to find some way to bring people together to bring our nation in a unified idea and vision for the country going forward. Otherwise, we're lost. I mean, we're confused.
Yeah, we're sunk otherwise. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. And well, thank you very much, Dr. Kaufman. And we'll talk about our project here in just a minute. But let's bring in Dr. Burgess, David Burgess. He's also a part of this project that we will discuss here. But Dr. Burgess, let me give you a little background on his bio. Dr. Burgess has a PhD in critical theory from the University of Washington. He is currently the literature and politics editor for the New World Encyclopedia. In addition to his academic work, David has 20 years of experience in community engagement, managing two 501c3 organizations and over a dozen grants. David has been married for 41 years and has two children and two grandchildren. So, David, welcome to the Firm America podcast.
Thanks, Marquis. Good to be here.
So, David and Frank, let's talk a little bit about the idea that you've been working on for the past 4 years that kind of came out of a process of prayer as we saw America in a situation that we hadn't seen before after the 2020 election. That's now come to fruit, that's starting to bear fruit, and that we're rolling out here in this spring in multiple areas around the country. Let's talk a little bit about that. We were discussing the title of the project, and we came up with the title being Woke Ideology, Critique, and Counterproposal. Let's talk about it together. Tell us a little bit about why and what it is and what we're doing with these seminars that are rolling out in different parts of the country. Let's discuss it together. Floor is open.
Thank you very much, Marquis. David, who should be the first to lead? I'm happy either way.
Maybe you can just introduce our collaboration, and I'll share a little bit about what I'm doing.
All right. There has, perhaps since the middle of the 20th century, been a concerted effort by people hostile to the American ideal to fundamentally undermine or destroy or even militarily overcome the United States of America. It's been a major force that's in the way of nations and people of a given ideology, especially Marxism. Marxism and communism and the work of the Soviet Union. The nation was full of spies. The government was infiltrated by communists and so forth. And basically, America was in the way. It was the flagship of capitalism, the great evil. And the Soviet Union, both in its just plain old power, internet, you know, like, what is it called? Geopolitical power tectonics, as well as ideology, needed to destroy the United States of America. It was in the way of establishing the the workers' utopia, global communism. And so the thing about Marxism was that it was framed as an ideology. It's an ideology. It isn't just a powerful country with nukes that hates your country and that it's a border war. It's not like the old-fashioned France versus Germany over the Alsace or some section a few miles wide. It was especially ideologically driven. And that is that Marx had the labor theory of value. He had dialectical materialism. He had elements that was purported to solve the problem of human inequality, of alienation, and so forth. And people bought that, whole universities, whole intelligentsia. People bought that. It was because they were impassioned by the beliefs, by the teaching, by the philosophy. It would be like the Crusades. People, it did have religious impact on people. And so the way what enabled the U.S. to withstand the force of communism was a superior ideology, which is embedded in our founding documents and evolved and developed by God-fearing philosophical traditions, the great houses of thought, Fordham University, Catholic thinkers, Protestant development, post-Weberian stuff, all kind of stuff gave America what it needed to stand up and prosper. I'm going to pause because there's a siren behind me and David can take over until I get a little more. I don't want to ruin your podcast.
Yeah,
here we go.
That's fine. Yeah, David, so what's your thoughts on what Frank was just now talking about?
Starting in 1991, the Soviet Union collapsed. The academic left, which is the vast majority of academics, you know, they have long said that their Marxist ideology wasn't based on the Soviet model. But when it collapsed, they were in a kind of crisis. What happened was that the whole class-based analysis of Western society, Western capitalism, kind of came crashing down with it. But at the same time, was developing a new kind of ideology, one based on gender, right, and race. So the departments had developed, you know, the women's studies and various programs like that. And they spun out a number of ideologists, right, people who were working in this area. And they spurned Marxism. They had previously been Marxist, but from the 90s, they looked for something else. And what they found, what they based their new theories on, was something different. It was the French ideologist of deconstruction and also the power theories of Michel Foucault. And these are the kind of leading lights of what came to be known as postmodernism. So the woke ideology emerged out of postmodernism, and there's a long explanation of what that means, but I won't go into it all now. I don't think we have time, but
some of the attack is still Marxist, especially out of the CCP. And America's in the habit of defending itself. The last and worst ideological enemy was communism. And so the great thinkers on the right and the great influencers and radio personalities, they know Marxism, and they're calling it American Marxism, and they're inventing names. But as we just heard from David, it grew out of, yes, a lot of Marx, but a whole additional philosophical root that is far more, literally far more corrosive. It's more universal in identifying who are the people who must be removed? You never dreamt that you needed to be removed, Markey. But now there's half of America that believes you must be removed. How did it go for, you're no bourgeoisie. I've been to your house. It's a nice house, but it doesn't, it, you know, a Marxist wouldn't need to kill you. But now just the affirmation of being male might be enough to have you branded a terrorist by the current administration, domestic terrorist. How did it come to be that there's an ideological basis in which it's not just Catherine the Great, it's anybody who you might see? This is what David is pointing to about, and he gets into the weeds, and it's a little scary using terms like postmodernism, or it sounds a little scary philosophically, but it's important to know that it's not just Catherine the Great anymore. It's somebody who dares to say, sir, at the gas station, excuse me, sir. And then that's the end of it. You know, he's fired. So what we are teaching is, what is the ideological roots of something as far reaching in its willingness to destroy human beings? Marxism had a class they were happy to destroy, which they did, as did the French, and revolutionaries had a class they needed to destroy. But to be where any and everybody needs to be destroyed, you need to get to the roots ideologically of how other seemingly normal people hold such radical beliefs. The pandemic, you know, had kids turning about, or else the word Trump, like kids wouldn't let their parents into their household. And the extreme of the division is not casually caused, what David was beginning to allude to. And that's what we're doing our seminar one day, that is an overview that you can walk away and know what you're up against now. It's not Marxism. So if somebody, if somebody's got a gun and you think they've got a knife, you're not in a very good place to survive that situation.
Yeah.
So this is what our day is about.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear people throwing the term communism around, you know, without really maybe understanding where it came from or its roots, and it's not really the same as it was in during the Cold War. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's a fact.
You know, Marquis, the truth is that Marxism never penetrated deeply into the American culture. It penetrated the academic institutions and you know, from the university on down, right? But it never penetrated deeply into the American culture because, unlike Europe, we weren't ever really a class-based society. Yes, some people are better off than others, but, you know, the American dream sort of speaks to that, right? Anybody can grow up to be president. So it never really had a great chance of succeeding here in America. But the new sort of postmodern tack that's addressing issues of race and gender are much more, they're fundamental to everyone. It may not be a class-based society, but, you know, the issues of race and gender, and certainly race is a deeply divisive issue in America and has been, right? So I think, what the woke ideology does is it plays on our, you know, we've made great progress in areas of race, but we haven't solved the problem yet, right? And so it points the finger and says there's a systemic problem. The system is bad. It creates racism. So the system has to be changed. So what does that mean? I mean, it's a revolutionary dogma. And we know how those things have gone in the past, and part of our seminar will address that, how these ideologies that promise, you know, utopia end up in the reign of terror or the gulag, right? So, and the same concern, I think, drives this project as well, that as Frank was saying, if you're the wrong color, right, I mean, you are automatically an oppressor. It doesn't matter what you do.
So it's all about division and dividing people.
It is. It's based on a very divisive ideology. And the other thing I would say, again, the seminar will go a little more deeply into what the progressive ideology is, but it's completely relativistic. I think that's the thing people need to understand. Not only do they, you can't even ask the question of God, right? The issue here is, there any truth? There is no, and from their point of view, there is no truth, right?
There's truth is relative. Truth. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the seminar itself. What people can expect when they come. You're going to get into. Tell us a little bit about the content of the seminar itself. Let's hear a little bit about the details.
It's a pretty simple day, and I think it'll be an enjoyable day. When you're learning new things, and when a truth is being spoken in new ways, it's always activating and energizing. So the morning lecture first examines the French Enlightenment, which was a dreamy thing, a great thing. Who needs to be oppressed by, be serfs in a monarchy?
Yeah, we began by addressing the French Enlightenment, which gave us rationalism and the idea that we could build society simply based on reason alone. And it was a great utopian ideal. And people scratch their heads and wonder, so how is it possible that this ideal winds up in the French Revolution in the Reign of Terror, with the guillotine being the symbol of that, right? How does that represent, rationality? And so our first set of lectures in the morning address how that came to be, and further developments in a more sort of spiritual vein, right? A more, I don't know how to, maybe Frank, you should
I could
explain.
Pick up, yeah. So the French Revolution chooses attack in response to oppression or inequality, ends up, as David said, with guillotines and the French Reign of Terror, which was as ugly as you can imagine, honestly. Again, Marx does the same. So that's the first lecture. Then the second lecture is the Bolshevik Revolution, Marx. Again, there's grotesque inequality. There's a type of serfdom, the proletariat, the working class, being driven by these industrialists. Marx comes up with a theory to create equality and co-ownership, and everybody shares, and it's a utopia. Same thing, and ends up Reign of Terror Square. Hundred million people are dead from a plan to make us all happy, all equal at last. So the first two lectures are, what is the pattern? What are we seeing? What is the mistake happening again and again, each time worse? And so the afternoon we arrive at a presentation of what this woke ideology is. And believe it or not, without wanting to sound alarmist, it portends to be Marxism squared. If you think 100 million dead was bad, this is what we're trying to hold up a red flag about and rally patriots around that. Not around the red flag, but rally patriots around the necessary stamp to ward off this eventuality. Because during the French Revolution, there were the reformers, and the American Revolution gave birth to a path of true progress and equality. Same thing with the Marxist Revolution during the American century. America did enormous things for the sake of racial equality, women's rights.
Sure, you bet.
So there's a thread on the positive side as well, and we want to unfold how that thread will look in the face of the devastating nature of the woke ideology that David touched on earlier.
I see.
Yeah. So there's a huge sort of disconnect between the theories, the ideologies, and the utopian outcome, right? That always winds up in a dystopian nightmare, right? So we trace that and show why. It's many people scratch their heads. How can Marxism wind up in the Gulag, right? How does the French Enlightenment end up in the Reign of Terror? Well, there's a reason. And we can explain what that is. And also, the concern is we see many of the same elements in the woke ideology. Only, you know, as I said before, in America, the class-based analysis never really took off. But even if it had, the idea of the class base was that, for Marx, was that eventually we'd get rid of the capitalists and we'd all be the same class. And, you know, but the ideology of the woke ideology, I mean, what are we going to do with white people, you know, with whiteness, white supremacy? How do you address that, right? Do we just eliminate all the white people?
Or males, David, how about that?
Or males, right. Yeah. I was getting there. And you know, the identity, the issue of identity, I think is very important. It's really fundamental to understanding the woke ideology. And we're going to address that in the seminar. You know, the intent is not to scare people, but some of this is scary. The intent is to educate, and especially to let people know. I think a lot of people are attracted to the idea of woke, right? And we're going to have, finally, we're going to have racial justice, right? Or equality between the sexes. But, you know, beware that's the same, you know, sort of ideas, same hope behind these other revolutions.
Right, that was tried once before, right? And we know what the end result was.
Yeah, but in the case of, like, the race or gender issues, these are not accidental things. You know, you could be one class or another, but, you know, I mean, you don't have a say over your racial composition, right? So, yeah, it hits deeper into who we are. So in that sense, it could be more dangerous.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for stopping by the Firm America podcast. We're looking forward to the seminars in the spring here. I know we have one in Southern California scheduled early next month, I believe.
Yes.
And then we have one in the Midwest here in Ohio in early May. And also Virginia, right, has one scheduled in...
Yeah, that's right.
Mid-May.
San Francisco, one in Virginia, one by you, Marquis, in Ohio. So it's a busy season coming up, but if we could be teaching 24 hours a day, we'd never stop. Honestly, this is a serious affair.
Well, that's good. I know. I'm glad this project has finally come to its fruition. I know it's been on the burner for the past 4 years, and both you and your team have been working to come up with the content and to finalize it. And you also have a publication coming out also. Is that correct?
These seminars will be a bit of a workbook on the teaching, but there will be a popular book itself, like a classical book, like you saw Created Equal by Ben Carson. Or, you know, we want to get the book into the hands of our brothers and sisters who care about our country, and it'll take that form also.
Good. And hopefully maybe in the future these seminars can be recorded too and being put in digital format that can be shared around through different channels to get the message out.
Just has to get everywhere. When people hear it, if they recognize that it's true, then it just has to get everywhere by however we do that. Kitchen table, YouTube video, but
social media.
Yeah, protect ourselves.
One-on-one, people sharing information.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, thank you again for joining us today on the Affirm America podcast. We look forward to the upcoming Woke Ideology Critique and Counterproposal, WIC for short. So again, thanks for joining us, gentlemen, and we look forward to this spring seminar series. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Affirm America podcast.
Thanks for inviting us, Marquis.
Thanks for having us, Marquis. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is the Affirm America podcast with your host, Marquis Vandermark. And let's never forget, America is great, and we affirm it.